This 4th of July weekend, it's a very special weekend, but it's also, I think, a good weekend for us to really consider who we are. If someone asks you who we are, a lot of times we come up with, I'm Bohemian, I'm French, I'm Irish, I'm American, I'm this, I'm that. We go to our heritage. But what is my identity? I think more than ever today we are called to know who we are. Because in our world today is going crazy with terrorist attacks seemingly on a weekly occurrence. It's now, why is it that it's not a surprise when we turn on the news and there's been another attack? And they don't just happen overseas anymore. They're happening right here in our own country. And all of these have one thing in common, because they are direct attacks on who we are. They're direct attacks on Western civilization, on our Judeo-Christian heritage. We are under attack. So we have to know who we are. Who do we identify with? The one thing that we all have in common, for most of us in this room, we are Catholic Christians. But the one thing that we have in common is that we are Christians. When we see ourselves in this light, it shapes our world view. It's an identity that goes so far back in history. It goes back to our Judean fathers, to those that Isaiah was writing about. And throughout history, there have been expectations of a Messiah. And oftentimes, these expectations have also come along with an end times implication. We see some of these in our first reading. Isaiah is writing to the Jerusalem people who have been attacked. They have been taken slave. They have been taken out of Jerusalem and off to be servants of the Babylonians. They've been taken away and were living as slaves to pagans. And in the midst of this, Isaiah writes about a fulfillment. He writes that Jerusalem will be a place of delight and comfort and joy. And this is partially fulfilled when they are sent back, when they do come back to Jerusalem. It's more fully fulfilled when Christ is born and walks the earth. And it will be fulfilled in its entirety when Christ returns a second time. But no matter how much what we imagine that is going to be like, what God has in store for us, we are told, we can never imagine. The disciples also had their expectations. They were expecting this earthly king, one who would come and restore Israel to their place in the world, to drive away the Romans. But their expectations and their judgments were off base. So the 72 come back from their mission, and what do they report? Even the demons are subject to us in your name. They're reporting these victories over the demons in this world. And Christ gives them the proper judgment. Rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. It's not about our earthly victories that we judge ourselves. This new world view is what Paul writes about. Because for Paul, it all comes down to the cross. He doesn't boast in himself. He doesn't boast in his victories. He boasts in the victory of the cross, the victory of Christ. And for the early Christians and the Jews at the time, this was a dangerous association. Because for them, the cross was something that was very real in their lives. It wasn't something nice to hang on top of a church. It wasn't something to dangle on the end of a rosary. It wasn't something to wear across as a piece of jewelry. The cross was a shame. It was a disgrace. It was meant to bring about a total abandonment of one's friends and associates. It was a shameful way to end one's life. It even implied that their God had abandoned them. For comparison, what would happen if, you know, something like that, if the crucifixion was still a state-sanctioned penalty in our world today? Imagine a terrorist coming in and being captured alive, being tried publicly. Picture, name plastered all over the television. You know, if it was one of our relatives, we would want to change our name. We would want to move away. We would want to disassociate ourselves as far as possible from that person. And that is what the cross is meant to do. To let someone know that they are totally abandoned and all alone. So in the face of that, what does Paul do? He boasts in the cross. He embraces the cross. So where does he get that courage? It comes from one event in all of history. The same event that gives us the courage to stand up today, the resurrection. This singular event changes everything. Because for Paul, the world has lost all of its power. The world, to Paul, is the power of sin. It is the power of hatred, the power of division. It is the power to structure society. It is the Pharisees, the government. It is all the high priests. All of these things, many of them are needed. But it is all of these things that the world holds and the world uses to impose itself. It is the very things that crucified Christ. All of these are identified for Paul as the world, and they are all defeated by the resurrection. The world is powerless. For them, even circumcision, the very thing that separated all of the Jews from the pagans, is meaningless. All of the dietary laws, Christ's own words, eat and drink what they put before you. The dietary laws that separated the Jews, they're no longer valid. It's no longer about being male or female. It is not about being Jew or Greek. It is about boasting in the cross of Christ. It is about becoming a new creation. For Christ himself, the risen Christ, is the first new creation, a new life, a mystical body. And we are all called, we are all invited into that life, to live in that mystical body of Christ, to participate in his body. The 72 didn't have the resurrection as their worldview, but they did have Christ. And they knew that the world that they were living in was passing and was going to change. Even the good and the venerated things of the world are not what is going to last until the end. And so we come together, especially this weekend, to celebrate the 4th of July, to celebrate our independence, to celebrate our freedom, good and great and beautiful things. And we should celebrate them. But first and foremost, we celebrate what will stay until the end of time. We will celebrate the fact that there is a kingdom coming. And this kingdom is being built one heart, one living stone at a time. We are one of the 72. We are sent into the world, to our families, to our friends, to our businesses, to our schools, to wherever and to whomever God places us. We are being sent to proclaim one thing, the cross of Christ, in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.